why pre-teen camp and pre-teen MT camp and teen camp, they're always such an event. They're always so special. And I really, really do want to just appreciate all those who've worked hard. You can tell everybody who's at teen camp this morning, because they're not only bloodshot in the eyes, they got a big, huge smile on their face. It's kind of like that combination of being completely bleary-eyed, but really being inspired and excited about all that God is doing among our youth. And I heard, this year, of course, was the Risen King theme for teen camp. And I heard that our own Tom Hughes was Rafiki. I hope Tom is mind to share this, but they got home late last night and found out that a pipe had burst in their second floor of their home. And so there wasn't a whole lot of sleep last night in the Hughes household. And so if you can lend a hand, if you're a plumber or something like that, if you can lend a hand, of course, we just wanted to say thanks to you. You guys are amazing. This morning, my lesson is a combination of a sermon and a communion. And so we'll be focusing on Jesus through this lesson, and we'll be sharing communion together towards the end. And so that'll really be special and be great as we just get a chance to commune and think about Jesus and who he is. My sermon this morning is entitled Living It Up. Living It Up. And so we'll look here in John chapter 5 in just a moment. But let's pray together. Let's really ask God to move in a very personal way through his word and through this time together to really speak to us and really move us closer to him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it really is an honor and a joy, and it's so humbling to think that we can talk directly to you, Father, individually, as a family, as a community. Father, we are so honored that through the blood of Christ, through the forgiveness that we receive from him, that we have a totally pure and unhindered relationship with you. Thank you for that. Thank you so much that as we open up the scriptures, that we get to learn from you. We get to hear wisdom from above, wisdom from heaven, to help us to live lives that are a glory and an honor to you, live life to the full, to really live it up, and to really take hold of life that is truly life. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Help our focus to be on him as we look at the scriptures this morning. Father, thank you for his guidance. Thank you for his teaching. Thank you for his power. Thank you for his wisdom, for his life. Father, we love you. We ask you to move powerfully by your spirit through your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things that I find myself having to continually take hold of is the fact that God dreams of me. And God dreams of each of us living vibrant lives filled with real, honest to goodness, love, and joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and gentleness, and self-control. God has a vision for us that we can live this kind of life. And that's the kind of life that he created us for. That lives that are so radiant and so full that they actually overcome hatred in this world. That they actually overcome fear and rise above fear. They actually overcome despair and darkness and emptiness. You know, Jesus teaches us how to live it up. Jesus teaches us how to rise above with faith, hope, and love. I kind of like that because it kind of rhymes. And it kind of reminds me of why Jesus came. He's trying to help me in my own struggle, in my own life, in my own journey, to rise above with faith and with hope and with love. You know, God the Father sent Jesus to us, sent Jesus personally to us, sent Jesus to humanity because we were in trouble. We were going the wrong way. We're fighting against one another. We're struggling to how to move forward in our lives, how to find the life and the love. And so Jesus came, and God sent Jesus to come as a compassionate and humble and powerful teacher and a guide and a brother and a friend and a leader and a slave of all, an inspiration to us. And he didn't just kind of do it from the mountaintop. He didn't do it from some sort of, crystal cathedral. He did it right here among us. He experienced our pain. He experienced our challenges. He dug into his relationships. He went through everything just as we go through it. But he rose above. He lived it up. He didn't get sucked into that downward cycle that we can so easily get sucked into. And he rose above with faith and with hope and with love. Now, remember when I was getting my MBA, that the teachers that I really enjoyed the most, who I felt like spoke to me the most at that point in my career, because I was trying to make my way in sort of that corporate environment, and I was trying to kind of figure it out as I was kind of moving through and kind of growing in my career. And it was the adjunct professors that really spoke to me. And the adjunct professors are professors who are basically, in the working world. They're in the world that we're trying to learn about. And it was just so cool to learn from men and women who are in that environment, overcoming the struggles, overcoming the challenges, bringing back their wisdom to help us to overcome our struggles to truly succeed in the workplace. You know, it was more than theory for these adjunct professors.
Right.
It was life. It was work. It was what they were going through from day to day. You know, Jesus really wants for us to have a faith that's so much more than theory.
Right.
That's so much more than an intellectual sort of pursuit of concepts.
Right.
Jesus wants us not just to know about him, he wants us to truly know him. He doesn't just want us to kind of know about God. He wants us to have a relationship with God, just like he did. Because God, he said, is our Father. He was Jesus' Father, and Jesus had a special place in God's heart. And God expressed his love for him in so many ways. But Jesus wanted to show us through his life that God wants that same kind of love relationship with each and every one of us. You know, John chapter 5, he's talking about this. And he starts in verse 37. He says, "And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." It's so easy in our pursuit of our faith to become kind of to find ourselves in that place where we're kind of wanting to know a lot about our faith.
Right.
We're trying to want to know about sort of, the concepts of it, but that we don't necessarily engage in it as a relationship. And so Jesus is saying, hey, you diligently study the scriptures, but the scriptures are talking about me.
Right.
And Jesus is saying, hey, the scriptures really are meant to lead you to me and how much I can teach you about life. And how much I can teach you about relationships. How much I can teach you about God. He says, but it's crazy. Because you're just not taking advantage of it. He says, you refuse to come to me to have life. Let me ask you the question. How's life going? How's life going? How are you doing overcoming your particular sins and temptations and challenges? How's it going in your relationships? And I hope and pray. I know there's all sorts of situations in here. You know, when we come together as a community, as an assembly, there's all kinds of situations and challenges and temptations and things that are happening. Here's the thing. Jesus can teach you to rise above no matter what your circumstances. Jesus can teach you and guide you and train you and inspire you and me to overcome even the most difficult challenges that we face, to rise above. But we've got to go to him as the life master, to have life and have it to the full. I'm reading through Gandhi's autobiography. And Mahatma Gandhi was an incredible person. He lived an incredible life. And yet I find myself, as I'm reading about him, saying, wow, what an incredible life. And yet it's easier to read about him than to then make the decision to live like him. Because Gandhi lived a sacrificial, radical life for the sake of peace in his own land. But I don't want to be that way with Jesus. Because Jesus has more wisdom and has more life and has more for me than any other leader that's ever lived, any other expert that's ever lived. But I must go to him to have life and have it to the full. You know, I was 18 years old and I was traveling around and I met some guys who I actually, you know, sat down and studied the Bible with. I was thrilled because finally it became practical. Finally it became not just theory. And for my upbringing, there was a lot of stained glass. There was a lot of rituals in my own religious past. It wasn't that, though. It was interacting with him. It was learning to go to Jesus as my trainer and as my guide and as my helper and as my brother, as my friend, as my Messiah. And find not only the wisdom, but the power to rise above with faith, hope, and love. And so as an 18-year-old, I was thrilled to learn that I could actually follow him. He could be my leader, that I could become like him. And it was an honor and a privilege to repent of my foolish ways, make Jesus Lord, and to be baptized in his death, burial, and then his resurrection to live life with him. Jesus doesn't want us just to know about him. Jesus wants us to know him and follow him and walk with him and involve him in even our most vexing challenges that we're facing. He's going to help us to overcome. You know, Paul said it so well in the book of Philippians. He says, I want to know Christ. And you can feel the longing, you can hear the longing in Paul's writing, in Paul's voice. He says, I want to know Christ. And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and then so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. He didn't just want to know about him. He wanted to know him. He wanted to become just like him. He wanted to have that sweet fellowship even in Jesus' sufferings. And here's the thing for all of us. If we are going to rise above, if we're going to be victorious and successful in this life, we are going to have to face suffering. But the thing about it is, Jesus didn't just kind of go through suffering, kind of grind through it. He went through it for reasons that motivated him, reasons that inspired him. You know, it says because of the hope before him, he was able to endure the cross and scorn its shame. And when we get that sense of meaning and that sense of our why and that sense of what this life is for and what we're here for, as we learn that kind of thing from Jesus, we go through suffering with meaning because we've answered our why. And with a why, we can go through anyhow. And suffering takes on not just a pain that we've got to get through. Suffering takes on a meaning that makes even our struggle worthwhile. You know, Jesus wants us to know him. You know, I've been reminded of this a few times recently because a few weeks ago, Sue and I were going through some stuff that we just kind of really needed some help with. And some people that we needed to talk to. You know, one of the things I'm kind of getting used to, in New Jersey is that my parents live right down in South Jersey. And I'm pointing there, I don't know, that's might be North Jersey, I'm not quite sure. But my folks live right down in South Jersey, and they're only about an hour and a half away. And I thought, why don't I just call up my dad and see if my dad could get lunch and just talk? You know, my dad is an incredible guy. I'm so blessed as a man to have a father who's been an inspirational example to me in his love for my mom. He's been such an example to me in his love for his family. There's four kids in my family. He has spent so much time with me. I feel so loved by my dad. But a lot of times I can kind of take my dad for granted. And so I'm like, hey dad, I don't know if you're free. It was the morning of, but could I come down and take you out for lunch today? He said, yeah, sure. I mean, he's 85 years old. He's been retired for quite a while. He's like, let me check my schedule, kind of jokingly. He doesn't have a whole lot on his schedule typically. And so he said, I'd love that. Come on down. Let's go out to lunch. And so we went out to lunch, and we talked. And I was just struck by the fact that I've got this person in my life who really wants to love me. And he's got so much wisdom. And we've got such a connection. We've got this father-son sort of, you know, resonance between us. And it was so comforting and so helpful just to get a chance to talk to him, hear his wisdom, feel his love, and really kind of not just know him from afar, but to be in a relationship with him. Not just know about him, but really know him and know his thoughts and have that bonding through that conversation. You know, I have that in my life team. You know, even just this morning, you know, Marcus and I got some breakfast together. But I've got guys like Marcus Williams, Jim Knopfler, and Neil Farley in my life team. And you're going, that's like the dream team right there. Those men are in your group. They're in your life team. They're in your neighborhood. I'm like, yep. But sometimes I can take these guys for granted. And sometimes we can be kind of religious in our group. We kind of, you know, attend, we get together, we talk, we chit-chat. But, you know, every now and then we really start to get open with one another. And we really start to appreciate each other's strengths. We appreciate each other's experiences. It's really cool because we start to bond in the heart level. And we stop just sort of taking each other for granted as people who go to the same church. That's not it at all. We're friends. We're brothers. We're in this together. And we get to not only sort of just kind of be around each other and be religious, we get to be real, deep friendship brothers. And there's so much power, and there's so much strength, and there's so much encouragement that comes from those real relationships. That's what Jesus wants with us. Through his Spirit, through his Word, through the things that we see him going through in the Scriptures, that we can walk with him. We can follow him. We can take his yoke upon us. And we can live this life victoriously. You know, too often we take Jesus for granted. Too often I take Jesus for granted. And too often I say, hey, Jesus, you lived your life over there. It's really awesome. And I'm going to applaud you. But sometimes it's a little bit scary to step into the arena with him. And to really trust him that this is how to live a successful, overcoming life. But every time I've done that, every time I'm really willing to be courageous enough to hear his words to me, see his example to me, and put them into practice in my own life, I feel myself digging my foundation down deep and living my life on rock. So much stronger, so much more capable, so much more overcoming. So today, let's go to Jesus, not just to know about him, but to know him, to bond with him, to find life, and find life to the full. We're going to take communion here in just a moment, and we're going to take bread and little cups, and if you need a cup, please go ahead and raise your hand. We're going to take a little wafer of bread, and really it's meant to remind us that Jesus was flesh here among us, and Jesus gave his body for us. Jesus gave his body so that he could have a relationship with us. And also to prove his faithfulness and his trustworthiness to us. Jesus gave his blood. And that's represented by the juice that we're going to drink. And it represents how totally committed Jesus is to us and his relationship with us. He was even willing to shed his blood and to die. The great thing, though, that we know is that 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. And through that, all that combination of things, and what he preached, what he taught, how he lived, how he died, how he resurrected, is that he's coming back to say, hey, I can really teach you how to live this life successfully, live it to the full, and live it together. Let's pray for this communion, and let's enjoy communing with God through Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm just so, so thankful for Jesus. Jesus, I need you. I want you. I want to know you. I don't want to just know about you. I want to do life with you. With you, I'm strong. With you, I am able. With you, I can rise above. With faith that's growing, with hope that's growing, with love that's growing. And Father, with you, I find success and victory. Thank you so, so much, Jesus, for your sacrifice for us. Father, help us individually and together to find great meaning in this short time of communion. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.